You're good? All right, here we go.
Wait, hang on.
I will. Now that fair Gina guy.
Test 1, 2. Test, test, test. Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Thank you. Right hot off the presses. Did you get the first page? No, it's all together. Here, we're doing it.
There's 2 pages of it.
There's 2 pages. Okay. Take them both.
I just made it up.
My sanity is not very good. Okay. I have the thumbs up, so that means we can start. Call to order. The Sunshine Statement, this regular meeting of the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of the annual meeting, annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press in 2 or 3 times, by posting it in Borough Hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements, and by filing it with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2023. This agenda is complete to the extent known, and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Pelissardo?
Here.
Mr. Crowley?
Here.
Mrs. Cusick?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Ms. Von Leitner?
Here.
Mr. Murphy?
Here.
Mayor Gluckstein?
Here. Please stand for a silent prayer and pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now, can I have a motion and a second for the approval of the previous meeting minutes of February 9th and February 13th?
Pelissardo moves.
Dougherty second.
And roll call.
Mr. Pelissardo?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Von Leitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
The minutes have been approved.
Thank you. We have no...
Mayor, I'm sorry. I just... The 13th, I was only attending online. I was not present in the building, so I approved the minutes for the 9th, and I would have to abstain on the 13th.
Okay. So, at this time, we have no unfinished business, no workshops, so move down to the... Oh, my goodness, population. It's, like, right in front of me, too. All right. Proclamation for recognizing February's Black History Month. Whereas in 1776, people envisioned the United States as a new nation dedicated to the proposition stated in the Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And whereas Africans were first brought involuntarily to the shores of the United States as early as the 17th century. And whereas African Americans suffered enslavement and subsequently faced the injustice of lynch mobs, segregation, and denial of the basic and fundamental rights of citizenship. And whereas, despite slavery, African Americans in all walks of life have made significant contributions throughout the history of the United States. And whereas, in the face of injustices, people of goodwill and of all races in the United States have distinguished themselves with a commitment to the noble ideals on which the United States was founded, and have fought courageously for the rights of freedom of African Americans and others. And whereas Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. lived and died to make real these noble ideals. And whereas the month of February is officially celebrated as Black History Month, which dates back to 1926, when Dr. Carter G. Woodson set aside a special period of time in February to recognize the heritage and achievement of Black Americans. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Highlands, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, do hereby recognize the significance of Black History Month as an important time to acknowledge and celebrate the contributions of African Americans and the nation's history, and encourage and continued celebration of this month to provide an opportunity for all peoples of the United States to learn more about the past and to better understand the experiences that have shaped the nation. 2, recognizes the ethnic and racial diversity of the United States, enriches and strengthens the nation, and encourages all states to include in their year-round education curriculum this history and contributions of African Americans in the United States and around the world. Thank you. Now, moving on to unfinished business, workshop discussion, and now public comment. And please, it's on the consent and regular agenda items. Well, we're going to start with the Zoom, see if anyone's on Zoom.
Thank you, Mayor. 6 attendees currently, no hands raised.
No hands? Thank you. And now moving on to anyone? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mayor. Mark Fisher, 9130. I have just two questions. This was Resolution 50-2023. There's a line item, Fund 15, Open Space Trust Fund, withdrawal of $29,000. Last meeting on February 19th, there was a withdrawal from the same account for $85,000. And back in last September, there's a withdrawal of $62,000. So that's about $170,000 in a little less than half a year. Where's all that open space money going?
So I'd have to look into it with the HFA to find out exactly where the monies were allocated. But at this time of the year, each year, because the budget, the new budget has not been processed, they're legally allowed to transfer funds from other locations where the, where they're needed. But beyond that, I can get you more specific in speaking to HFA.
And then just another question from the last meeting, and we didn't have an opportunity to ask about it, but Resolution 43, which is the regionalization, I guess the agreement to go into regionalization, authorizing meeting for regionalization representatives. Why wasn't that on the agenda last month? The agenda states every month that it's the agenda complete to the extent known. And yet, there was no copy of it online, there was nothing in the minutes even referencing it, and yet you voted on it, passed it unanimously.
Yeah, I'd have to look into that. I mean, it sounds like it was added.
We had an executive session on that topic prior to the council meeting, and that so that was that time that it was presented to the mayor and council, and it, and that's where we decided to move it forward in the meeting. So it didn't happen until we were here.
But it was prepared, ready to go.
But sir, it's something, an executive session after they meet. If they decide to make it public, then they'll pass a resolution affirming what they did in executive session, so it's not going to be on the agenda, but there's no prohibition on adding something to the agenda if it,
right.
If it, right, which is what they did.
I was just curious as to the process.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the question.
Okay, thank you. Now, oh, yes.
I noticed on the agenda acquisition of property is in the executive session. Is that for the Mother Teresa property?
That's correct.
Okay, I just didn't know if you were getting anything else besides that.
One's enough for now.
That's
okay.
Thank you.
Can I see us? Okay. All right, so I'm going to move on to the consent agenda. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 44, certification of the 2021 annual audit. Resolution 45, adoption of the corrective action plan. Resolution 46, authorizing return of sewer fees. Resolution 47, authorizing mosquito commission to conduct an aerial operations. Resolution 48, mental health and addiction services grant, Form 1B. Resolution 49, Municipal Drug Alliance Grant, Form 1B. Resolution 50, payment of bills, $189,274.06. I need a motion and a second.
I'll move it.
Crowley seconds.
And roll call.
Mr. Colasarta?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed.
And now we're moving forward to Ordinance 5, 2023, illegal dumping. This is an introduction.
I'll move it.
Second.
And roll call.
Mr. Colasarta?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ordinance 5, 2023 has been properly introduced. Public hearing and second reading on May 9th. I'm sorry, March 9th.
March 9th.
March
9th. Thank you, everybody. This is going to be a big help for our DPW crew. Thank you.
Okay, so I need a motion and a second for Ordinance 3, amending Fire Department LOSAP.
I'll move it. I'll second.
And now it's open for public questions. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mayor. Mark Fisher still at 9130. I'll preface this by saying I'm a 40-year volunteer firefighter, and I'm a 17-year recipient of a LOSAP program, just not this one. I'm all for the volunteers, obviously, EMS and fire. I'm all for this ordinance, the way it's written for the points adjustments. However, I would like to ask that this ordinance be tabled for two reasons. I don't think that the volunteers get enough money from the LOSAP program. If you do the math back to inception of the enabling ordinance back in 2004, if they were given CPI increases every year, right now they would be making close to $1,600. Right now they can earn only up to $1,250. So we're kind of shortchanging the volunteers. Last year, I know Ms. Hohenleitner was instrumental in getting a $100 increase, but it's $100. Out of the 90 people eligible for it in Atlantic Islands, fire and EMS, only 50 collected. That's a 2017 figure because I couldn't find it newer. Out of those 50 people, about $50,000 was awarded to those volunteers. That's about $1,000 per person. Now, the program is based on points. If you get up to 100 points, you earn the full $1,250 a year. And anything below that, it's that basically that percentage of the $1,250. By comparison, 2 years ago, our EMS was having problems. We're paying JFK, the ambulance service, $90,000 a year to show up to bring patients to the hospital. So this is our second year in that. And yet with the increases granted last year to our volunteers, right, there was only a $5,000 increase in the budget item. So I would like this to be tabled. Consider, please, adding the $100 increase, but also please consider adding an automatic update to the annual award based on CPI. And that is written into the law. And it's not even something that you have to have a referendum on. It can be done with a public hearing and then a vote on a change to the ordinance. So I would ask you to please table this ordinance until it's looked at.
Okay. Mr. Fisher, just to respond to that, the Finance Committee is going to be meeting about the budget in the next couple weeks, but this ordinance, what came forward with the changes was from the department itself, and I'm wondering if someone can respond to that.
Yeah, I was actually,
because we will be contemplating the CPI as part of the budget process.
And this could be in tandem with their request.
Certainly, certainly. But I, so Mr. Calisaro and I have attended the fire department meetings, both meetings in 2023.
Right.
And the department is pleased with this. This is progress. And it's imperfect, but there's, I would say, great enthusiasm within the department that we're making these changes, and they're eager for them to be made. So I would...
Even more eager if it was percentage of a higher amount of money.
Understood. And to Ms. Hohenleiter's point, I mean, this is, you know, we will be discussing indexing this to CPI, but I don't know that we should delay progress. We should move forward with this ordinance tonight and then also consider that in the near future.
We could always amend the ordinance in the future.
Sure.
Correct.
My thought process is, we all know how much of a pain in the neck it is to get an ordinance change, and you're starting this one. Let's pause and consider it. And if you don't like it 2 weeks from now, then go ahead and pass it, but at least give it some consideration to our almost 100 volunteers, residents of the town, to get them some more money. I mean, they're investing this money in mutual funds through Lincoln Finance, I'm sure, that it's the same company that our department uses. So, based on the economy, they can, you know, after 30 or 40 years, they can have a lot of money in their bank account for retirement. So it's important to get them the money now so they can invest it and earn on it over that amount of time.
Thank you.
Mr. Fisher, I'll just add, listening to what you're saying and listening to what Councilman Daugherty is saying and having listened to Councilwoman Hohenleiter and what you just said about we know how hard it is to get an ordinance on, right?
Yeah.
It's easier for an amendment, and I would hate to delay this when everybody's prepared to say yes to this right now and have it on the books and the clock is ticking and we're making progress, and then come back and revisit after they've had further discussions. I just want you to know that's my thought process. I'd rather, like, say yes right now, get this going.
I echo that sentiment.
Please give this serious consideration.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Anyone on Zoom?
No hands, Mayor.
No hands? Six?
So, excuse me, Mayor. Why is the Zoom audio isn't working?
And maybe you can confirm that, Doug?
Thank you.
We're good?
We're good.
No problem.
All right, so how many people on Zoom, and if there's any hands up?
Nine attendees, no hands raised.
Okay. All right, so now I need a motion and a second to come out of public hearing or public.
I'll move it.
Second, Doherty.
Okay, roll call. On the amendment.
Wait,
cut
amending.
Amendment. No amendment.
No,
she's right. Amending the fire, the ordinance 03
right.
Amending.
2023. That doesn't
rescinded. Rescinded.
Who's on first? Okay. So, and if we're out of public. Now I need a motion a second to go ahead with the adoption.
Crowley moves.
Tell us for the seconds.
And roll call.
Mr. Calisaro.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Daugherty.
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleiter.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Ordinance 03-2023 has passed.
Okay. So, reports, Mr. Calisaro.
It's going to be a brief one today. There was nothing to report from the fire department meeting. We did discuss the amendment that we just passed, but other than that, there was no update to provide. Environmental, our next meeting's on the 28th at 7 p.m., so nothing to report there. Shade Tree, planning continues for Earth Month. Efforts are being made to bring in a speaker to discuss the benefits of trees, urban ecology, and making cities and suburban towns more livable in the face of climate change. I'm excited for the people that they're reaching out to. When more information becomes available, I will present that to you guys. In terms of recreation, the borough just posted the position for recreation summer camp director to AHNJ. So if you're interested and qualified, please head to the recreation page on the borough website, fill out an application, and get it to borough administrator, Mr. Ferragina. Lastly, rec basketball continues. It's been a great season, and I think now is a good time to congratulate or give a shout out to the people that are really making wonderful efforts with the program, specifically Rich Colangelo, Chris Parmigiani, Brandon Raper, and all of the coaches who volunteer, including Councilman Murphy over there, who alleges he is the best coach.
It is really not my opinion, it's just the athletes. This is fine. It's fine.
That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Crowley.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll pick up with recreation. I know 2 weeks ago somebody made a comment about fingerprinting for added security for like our summer rec program director, the assistant director, and I wanted to report back on that in terms of we're doing everything as a borough right now that's required by us by law. That said, we're having more internal conversations to see what we can do about going the next step and providing as much security as we can for our children. So Peg will look into that, and we'll be in further conversations with our borough administrator, and we'll report back to you for next steps on that. I've also mentioned in prior reports about the Sports Connect app, which is something that the committee would like to enter into an agreement with this app provider. This app, as I've discussed in the past, has enhanced features that allow more communication, better communication between coaches, between the rec committee and coaches, and also the coaches and their teams. There's also the ability to track an athlete across years and their performance and their skill set, so that it's the committee's goal to provide more and better parity among the teams, so that you don't have a team that's stacked with excellent players and another team maybe not as much. These records would be private and would not be accessible to the public at all. They would only be accessible to the rec committee and its members and its coaches. So with that, I don't have any other, I've discussed this with legal counsel. As long as we're certain that that these records are private, I would like to seek direction from Mayor and Council to be able to move forward and enter into an agreement with Sports Connect, which, by the way, is free. There is no fee to the borough. And as I said in last month's report, there is a nominal $3 registration fee to our parents when they're registering their children. If you have five kids, it's only $3. But if you enter each child separately, then there's a $3 charge for each child. But so it could potentially only be $3. And that's how there's no cost passed on to the borough. So with that, I'd like to ask, can I get direction from the borough for us to enter into an agreement with Sports Connect on behalf of the Recreation Committee?
I have a question about privacy, and I'm glad you brought it up. I could see where families would be very concerned about their child's information being out there. How do we know for sure it's private?
It's the way the app is constructed, and there are firewalls so that you can't, as a member of the public, get past that firewall to access that information. And it's all password encrypted, and then the Recreation Committee would then also be passing out passwords to a very limited number of people with access, and a coach's access. And Councilman Murphy and Councilman Colasardo, if you want to back me up on this or correct me if I'm wrong, the access given to a coach is different and not as widespread, as you will, to say Coach Whitehead, who's the chair of the Recreation Committee, or to one of our internal committee members that's running the committee.
Yeah, I would add to that, John, that we have the benefit of hearing about this within the committee meetings.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to ask council to support something, maybe provide them some more information as well about it. I think it's a great program, and it could be an asset to our sports programs. when we're picking teams and that kind of stuff, but, you know, if there's any areas of concern from anybody else on council, let's provide more information.
I can also share that the Sandy Hook Little League uses Sports Connect for its registration, and has for the past at least 3 years. Prior to being on council, I was a board member of Sandy Hook Little League, and was involved in setting up the website. It's very user-friendly.
It's very efficient.
It's very efficient. One of the nice aspects of it is when you sign up your child for Little League, their information is stored in your account, so you don't have to scan their birth certificate again and put it through. And it is very useful. It's a large company, as much as I understand it. And so it's utilized in lots of different youth sports leagues, such as Little League. So I have personal experience with it. I can vouch for its usefulness.
And I think our committee members also, there were two in particular that were doing a lot of the research on this, riding herd on it for several months, because we looked at a lot of different apps. And this is the one they came back with and came highly recommended from other sources.
And specifically one of those committee members, their professional expertise is in data protection. And so because of that, I feel pretty comfortable that any information that's going to be stored in this website or app will be protected based upon the expertise of the people on the committee.
So, Councilman Carlick, what exactly are you asking from us?
So we've had it reviewed by council.
Sure.
Next step now is I'm just seeking direction from the rest of council to be able to move forward and enter an agreement with Sports Connect.
So typically that's not how it works. I have a couple concerns. One is that we're just talking about it amongst ourselves and we haven't heard anything from the public on this because it wasn't on the agenda. And two, I'm not loving the idea of passing any additional fees onto our residents without asking them how they feel about it. So I would not be comfortable until after public comment, when it was advertised that we were going to discuss it, giving you any direction.
So why don't we do this? Why don't we internally pass on some information so we can get a little bit more clarification on the details. The councilman did share some information to myself that I did pass on to the borough attorney. So there was some initial vetting. And there are some municipalities in the area that do use that particular app. But the points that Councilwoman Hohenleitner is making are, I believe, valid. I think we should do a little bit more due diligence and communication internally and be prepared to, at least if we do support this, have a target date of when we would implement it as well, so we can ramp up to that. That's at least what my recommendation would be.
That's fine. Point of correction, we have, I'm not seeking precedent tonight. We have operated this way in the past with this sort of thing, but I'm more than happy to hand over everything, or Peg, maybe you can provide everything to Mr. Farragine and then pass that to the rest of council. So that we can.
Everything is about a 100-page agreement that they sent.
That's fine.
And I did look at it. I mean, I'm not in love with it. I don't believe that it's negotiable, but I understand it's up to the council ultimately whether the program makes sense. There are some holes in it, and what I suggested actually is that you do more due diligence and talk to some of the other towns that are using it and make sure, because the agreement as written is certainly pro Sports Connect, and they ask for indemnification from us. We don't get indemnification from them, so we just need to understand the potential privacy ramifications and potential lawsuits that could come from something like this. And I think the council is being asked to agree that it's not the Recreation Committee that signs on; it's the council, the government. So they're going to have to take a look at it.
Okay.
But I'll pass on the information. Obviously.
Thank you.
Yep.
Moving on, First Aid Squad, February 1st to February 23rd in 2022, the First Aid Squad answered 7 calls. This year, same period, 23 calls. That's triple amount of calls this year answered year over year. Year to date, January 1st, 2022 to February 23rd, 22, there were 22 calls. This year, same period, 66 calls. So again, that's triple the amount of response this year, year to date. Tonight is going on right now down at the Senior Center. There's a CPR night that's going on, free of charge. And I believe there are 50 participants. And just heads up for to put this down on your calendars, on February 23rd, Thursday, there's going to be a how to put together your own first aid kit seminar that First Aid Squad is going to be presenting.
What's today?
I'm sorry, March 23rd. Not tonight.
I thought we went into the war yet.
No. Yeah, tonight is the CPR. March 23rd is the how to put together your own first aid kit. That might be happening in the senior center, or it might be happening here in Borough Hall. No, it can't happen in Borough Hall. It'll be down in the senior center. DPW, just want to thank the council for passing the introduction of the illegal dumping. That's something that, since coming on and working with the DPW, that's a tool that's going to be very helpful to them, because there's quite a bit of illegal dumping of substances, and just as big a problem with people from out of town coming and illegally dumping here in our recycling center, because they may live in a town where there's a charge to do the illegal dumping, and they can come here where there's no charge. So now we've given them some tools that they can alleviate that problem. DPW also acquired a new Tahoe vehicle through Monmouth County Vehicle Services. It's with painting. It's being painted right now. This was a unit that was retired from the AH Police Department, and now it's been repurposed by the DPW. This is all through the Monmouth County shared program. Two trees were taken down on Bayside Drive due to an emergency safety issue. They were leaning. One was leaning into another tree, and there was some danger of a power line, I believe. The County Shade Tree Commission was brought in, and they said that it was beyond what they could do to save the tree, so the determination was to take the tree down. And then last point, and then I've left some other things for Councilman Murphy to discuss. DPW Director and a member from sanitation met with members of the Atlanta Collins Elementary School to discuss how they can further expand the school's recycling program. And my last report for tonight is from our police department. AHPD is seeking applications for a part-time Class 2 special law enforcement officer. Resumes can be dropped off at the police headquarters, and applicants must have their Class 2 certificate from the Police Training Commission. Officers from our department, I'm sure some of you saw this online, it's very kind of sweet, participated in a book reading at the Atlantic Islands Library on the 16th. And then each of the children, I think, were brought down to the headquarters, and they were given a goodie bag. So, Chief, I see you here, so thank you, and the rest of the staff for doing that. It was great. ABC, alcohol beverage control. Card holders for any restaurant or bar employees who serve alcohol must apply or renew their ABC cards. The card process was halted during the COVID pandemic. However, the ABC operating procedures are back to normal. And you can pick up your application at police headquarters during regular business hours. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Councilwoman Cusack.
Okay. I did want to take a moment of silence for the victims of another mass shooting that occurred yesterday in Orlando. This is the 81st incident since the beginning of this year of a mass shooting in this country. And I just wanted to take a moment of silence for that. Okay, thank you. My veterans report, there's no report this time. I had a pretty extensive report last meeting concerning veterans. In terms of OEM, a few workshops on various emergency management topics are being offered in the next month or so, with many of our committee members signing up for them. I will be attending the Ready Seniors workshop on March 23rd in Ocean County to better understand some of the options and programs for seniors to be prepared for emergencies. Related to that, the Senior Citizens Group Committee will be holding a number of activities in the next few months, including a presentation from the county in April on emergency go bags. So there's a tie-in between those two different committees. I hope the kickoff for the program for OEM and the Senior Citizens Committee on Medical Preparedness, this will serve to that function. I believe there may be opportunities for this club and other senior groups for working with the Recreation Committee, as Councilman Murphy and I discussed last month, and we want to go forward with that. One of the things that they're talking about is yoga classes, which I'm sure all of us could participate in. There won't be any meeting in March, as the building, the senior citizens building, is slated for some sprucing up and some painting, thank you, from the whole ladies, the whole senior group. And then finally, a meeting of the senior citizens committee, which is different than the seniors club. And I want to stress that the senior citizens club down at the senior citizens building is its own separate club. We have a committee of this council will be meeting in the next few weeks, and I will get back to you then with what kinds of major issues we want to look at. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councilman Dougherty.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, everyone. Start with finance and personnel. As previously reported, the fiscal 2023 budget meetings are well underway, and it's actually been reported they're a bit ahead of schedule from last year, so there will be more details on the 2023 budget planning in due course. On the personnel side, applications are still being accepted for the tax collector utilities collector position. Interested applicants should go to ahnj.com and click on employment opportunities under the government tab of the homepage for more information. Those applications are due on March 10th. Councilman Colasurdo already mentioned the summer recreation camp positions. So also, if you're interested in either the camp director position or the camp counselor positions, information is available on ahnj.com for that as well. I wanted to take a moment to talk a little bit about the Resolution 47-2023, the mosquito spraying. That was passed tonight as part of the consent agenda. I just wanted to kind of give a little bit of context on what the Environmental Commission did last year with respect to that topic. There was extensive conversation at the Environmental Commission meeting. I myself had an exchange with Victoria Thompson, who's the superintendent of the Monmouth County Mosquito Commission. Her response was very thorough. There's a great deal of thought and care that goes into this activity. You know, she was very thorough in her response, and there will be continued conversation at the next Environmental Commission. So I wanted to just allay any fears, if there were some, that we're being not as careful and thoughtful as we should be with that. We certainly are. As Councilman Colasurdo mentioned, there's nothing more to report from the Fire Department. EMS Task Force will meet again on March 5th. The Planning Board will meet next Thursday, March 2nd, here at 7 p.m. in this room and on Zoom. And then finally, I'll just take a moment to give a shout out to Detective Morgan and our fantastic police department.
Is this your car?
This was my car. At 12:34 a.m. on February 21st, Detective Morgan left this on my windshield as part of the Lock It or Lose It program. Though I usually do lock my car, on that particular evening, I did not, and Detective Morgan noticed.
At 1234.
So, according to recent data published on NJ.com, motor vehicle thefts in New Jersey are down 22% in January 2023 over the same period last year. Undoubtedly, it is at least partly due to efforts like this program here in Atlantic Islands and my officers like Detective Morgan and his great colleagues in our department. So thank you for your efforts, and Detective and Chief, I'll do better.
I also want to plead guilty to this. I also received one on my hood as well.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I was walking here tonight, and I couldn't find my keys, and I was like, oh, God, I always tell Chief, like, I remember, especially in front of Borough Hall, because I'm afraid it's going to happen. Me too. I live down a long driveway, and my car's always locked, I promise.
So, thank you, Mayor. That's all.
Councilwoman Hohenleitner.
Thank you, Mayor. Just to echo, I was at Borough Hall when the police chief led the little ducklings out. It had just started to rain after they had done their reading session, and the smiles, like, it was adorable, and the chief didn't know that I was watching him lead them out, and you could tell he had extra joy in doing that. So just very briefly tonight, Mayor, there's no additional report from the Harbor Commission. However, there was, I do want to mention that we do have ongoing litigation that is progressing. There was a very, very positive meeting today with our Harbor attorney and members of the Harbor Commission, and I got incredible feedback from some who attended about how professionally our new attorney is handling the matter. So I want to thank Mr. Cannon for that. Thank you, Mr. Cross, for attending that meeting. For personnel, this Monday we will be conducting, the personnel committee will be conducting Mr. Farragina's, we'll call it delayed annual review, but that will be Monday. And as a part of that process, we'll be setting what that process is moving forward for the borough, because we haven't been conducting those regularly, and we want to make sure that we're taking care of our employees and making sure that they're getting the feedback and the support that they need. We are very, very proud, this council, of the way that the redevelopment meeting went last week over at the movie theater. Special thanks to everyone who attended. I thought personally that it was a very informative meeting, that there was a lot of information shared. That being said, there's still a lot more questions, and this council will be revisiting the feedback that we received that night, as well as additional feedback that we received. But thank you to everyone who participated and came to the mic and spoke. I want to thank Mr. Dougherty especially for we were running interference on what the sound would be like and making sure that we were able to record the meeting. So there was a lot of last minute work that went on, and thank you for being my partner on that. So we are definitely, we will be continuing to discuss as a council what the process is moving forward, but we will be very transparent with the public at every step of the way. Green team, just briefly, we met last Wednesday. April 22nd is Earth Day, and we're working to coordinate with all the various groups mm-hmm. in town. If you know of any, if any member of the public knows of any activities going on either locally or at the county level on April 22nd, we would love to coordinate that. We're going to figure out how to really coordinate all the efforts, including the Shade Tree speaker. But thanks to that group, there's also a rabies clinic on March 15th. And a shred session on March 25th, which we'll continue to remind the public on. That's part of our certification process, is helping to publicize these things. One other thing we would like to help publicize, they're reseeding the tiger patch over at the elementary school. So if anyone's interested in volunteering for that, that will take place on March 24th. I don't have the timing on it, but we'll make sure that we get that up on the website and on the calendar. Open space, I gave a report at the last meeting on open space. Mr. Murphy and I attended a meeting after he was done being Mr. Basketball. That was really just a reflection on the site visit that we had down at Center Avenue Park and some timelines and deliverables moving forward. We are definitely looking at improving signage at Center Avenue Park at a minimum there isn't great signage there right now, and that is just in general looking at the project as a whole. I think everything else I have can, right? You're good.
Councilman, I'll just add, I wasn't able to go to the theater, but thank you to Brian, Mayor, Mr. Farragina, Lori, for everybody to be able to hear and watch. And often you can't hear when the people in the public are speaking, and it came in crystal clear, so it was great to be able to track the whole conversation, so thank you.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I love the venue. I thought that was excellent.
They were,
and
they
I
were
was
wonderful.
Very apprehensive. I know, I did like that too, popcorn. But the venue was perfect. Everyone had a great seat and could see.
Yeah.
And we arranged for overflow just in case, because we weren't sure if there was going to be more than capacity.
I was a little apprehensive, but it was very...
But anyone who ever participated in any of the public hearings on the Denholz property or any of those previous hearings where you
hit
the school and you couldn't see and you couldn't hear. Mm-hmm. And so I just, we thanked them afterwards, but just I would really like to thank Tony Zertuche and his employee Connor, who was really so accommodating and really helpful. And it was a really nice venue. I thought it worked out really well. So thank you, everybody, again.
Okay, Mayor, not a lot to talk about left. I will add some points to Councilman Crowley's Public Works report. Our Department of Public Works partnered with the Monmouth County Vocational School System to have a student working within our vehicle maintenance department recently, and I heard that was a great success. A quick reminder, zone-by-zone brush pickups start in April. Please do not put any material in the roadway until 5 days prior to your zone's pickup. We'd like to ask all residents to please read the borough calendar as needed. There is a tremendous amount of material and information within the calendar. And as we have been doing the last few meetings, Just another reminder, there is a change in the borough's recycling center. The first time this will take effect will be Wednesday, will be the fifth Wednesday in March, as this is the fifth Wednesday of the year. Just to add a couple points to recreation, everybody's done a great job. I'm just going to add, we are also discussing the potential for moving our Easter egg hunt from Fireman's Field to a different location. Talk has included the harbor, but we'll update the public as we make that decision within the committee. Also, we have some potential pickleball events happening this spring, so stay tuned for that. And as mentioned earlier, we are looking to team up and create some recreation events for our seniors. And that is it for me, Mayor.
Okay. Well, thank you. And now our administrator's report.
Thank you, Mayor. I have quite a few items tonight, so I apologize for the length. On February 3rd, on behalf of the GIF, J.A. Montgomery Consulting conducted their annual inspection of borough properties. They then submitted a loss control report to the GIF as well as the borough. The survey revealed, quote, strong management commitment and all regulatory compliance documentation has been updated along with RTK files. On February 13th, I attended a joint insurance fund GIF online Zoom meeting for all fund commissioners and risk management consultants. Later that day, the borough held a special meeting, as was previously reported, at the Smog Castle Cinema No. 4, where redevelopment planner Fran Reiner presented his firm's information and schematics to the public. On February 15th, the DPW director, as well as the borough's engineering firm, CME, joined me for a second annual meeting with the Monmouth County engineering team in Freehold to discuss county-owned assets in the borough of Atlantic Islands and their current schedule to maintain those assets. The meeting highlights include three items. One, Ocean Boulevard Bridge, which I think is MT-40, will be going out to bid this summer with a projected start of September or October of 2023. The county will be investing approximately $5 to $6 million to rebuild the bridge deck, repair the bridge walls, replace the bridge sidewalks, and replace the railings. The money has been secured and allocated. The county is working with the state DOT on the railing specifications. The bridge project is deemed top priority for the county, and they have secured funding, as I mentioned, for the project. The next two items from that meeting are together. Paving of Ocean Boulevard, as well as the repairs to the concrete wall, is projected for 2024 and/or 2025. The county on those two items is currently seeking funding either through state and federal grants or through capital budget funding. So the funding hasn't been secured yet, but it's still on their docket to achieve both of those items, and they inform us they're committed to proceed forward. In addition, on the Stonebridge MT-50, I think it's MT-50, the county is reviewing the borough's proposal to have Victorian-style lights hardwired to resemble the original lights that decorated the bridge years ago. On February 16th, the borough received a communication from the state regarding Executive Order 318 stating, quote, the flag of the U.S. and New Jersey shall be flown at half-staff during appropriate hours on that day on the 16th in recognition and mourning of Assemblyman Francis L. Bodine, a longtime dedicated legislator. Therefore, the borough flags were lowered that day and raised back up, I believe, the next morning. On February 17th, the DPW director and I met with the borough's risk manager for a yearly general inspection and walkthrough. This is separate from the inspection done by our consulting firm, J.A. Montgomery. We met with the risk manager for a yearly general inspection and walkthrough. I'd like to thank the DPW for preparing for this, as they made sure all borough buildings, properties, and vehicles were operational, organized, cleaned, and ready for the insurance and safety inspection. All safety binders, safety check sheets, Safety Monday binders, training records, SDS binders, and PPE equipment hazard assessment information was available. And we passed with flying colors. So again, thank you to the DPW department. On February 22nd, I attended the Community Development Block Grant Annual Reorganization Meeting online. Per my request, the fire department commemorative bell outside of the emergency services building will be serviced by DPW to give it a more aesthetic and pleasing appearance and to extend its lifespan. DPW will also be doing additional maintenance work to the East Highland Avenue side of the emergency services building. Per my approval, the wooden parking lot divider between the Senior Center and the C Street building has been removed. This will allow more efficient snow plowing and traffic flow. The borough is utilizing Monmouth County's DPW Shared Services Program with their vehicle service department, as was mentioned by Councilman Crowley, to paint one of the borough's retired police cars, which will be utilized by the borough DPW department. Regionalization. A mediation meeting has been scheduled for March 30th. The time and location is being worked out. In attendance will be the mayors, VAs, council presidents, and attorneys representing the two municipalities, Highlands and Atlantic Highlands. Also in attendance will be the financial experts for each town. The Atlantic Highlands financial expert, as previously noted, is Robert Beneke, who the borough has already approved. The mediator will be Glenn Fournay. As was previously mentioned, he's a retired assistant commissioner for the New Jersey Department of Education and was head of school finance. If there are additional updates, they will be provided at the March 19th council meeting, and the borough special counsel, if there are additional updates, will be there to personally provide those updates. And that's Mr. Matt Giacobbe. Monmouth County Health Department is hosting a job fair located there at 50 East Main Street in Freehold. It will be held tomorrow, February 24th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. No appointment is needed, just walk in and interview. All available.
You're not going, right?
No, I'm not going.
Okay.
If I was, I wouldn't tell anybody. All available positions are listed on the flyer that they sent us, which is also posted on the hallway, and you can go online. Visitmonmouth.com is the name of the site, visitmonmouth.com. Otherwise, you can call their HR department. The borough has received a check from the state for $7,939.29 for the Hazardous Waste 2020 Recycling Tonnage Grant. And lastly, I have a letter, if I can find it, from the tax collector that she asked me to read aloud. And I believe this letter is going to be mailed to residents. It will be mailed to residents. Dear residents, effective March 18th, 2023, the Borough of Atlantic Highlands is completing its upgrade to the Edmunds system, which I had previously reported on. The borough has invested to upgrade our system, our MSI system, to Edmunds. And I think at the last minute I explained the benefits of doing that. As a result, vendors for online payments for tax and water and sewer payments only will change from a PSN element to Edmunds WIPP. You will still be able to access the payment portal at the borough website to pay your bill. If you are currently registered for auto payments, you will need to re-register with Edmunds WIC by logging on to the borough website, www.ahnj.com. This should be a very simple process. We will try to make this transition as seamless as possible. As always, if you have any questions about this, call Borough Hall. We'll schedule an appointment for you to speak with the tax collector. But we just wanted to make sure we read this. And that's all I have, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Shake. Following up on the DA's report, I did have an opportunity, as I said I would, to speak to Matt Giacobbe and to Jonathan Bush, the attorneys involved in the regionalization. I also reviewed the docket and can confirm that there is an adversary proceeding pending involving Seabright. And that's part of the holdup in Trenton. It's not just the allocation of the tax revenue. Then that mediation is going to deal with that issue. But I can, since there was a lot of discussion, at the risk of opening up a can of worms, that I did look at that, and I can confirm that what was represented to us by Matt Giacobbe is actually, in fact, true.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Rollmeyer.
Thank you, Mayor. Following up on the FEMA 2023 PDM, the pre-disaster mitigation grant application, it was previously reported that the borough was selected for a potential award for work in the harbor. Our office is working with NJOEM to advance the application now to the next step. So hopefully that will continue in the right direction. That's good news. And then with regards to the 22 road program, in talks with the contractor, weather permitting, they're anticipating returning a week earlier than I reported at the last meeting. So the week of March 6th is the current anticipated remobilization date. Again, we'll put out resident notices to the affected areas ahead of their return, and looking forward to that resuming. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And now moving on, public comment. once again, move to the front of the room, name and address. How many people on Zoom?
12 attendees currently.
Okay, any hands up?
None.
All right, so we'll vote.
My name is Rhonda Lubrax. I live at 84 South Avenue, Atlantic Highlands. I just wanted to bring to all of your attention the loss of a very important man to Monmouth County. If you've ever been to Monmouth County Parks, and surely you all have, James Trunzer passed away on Sunday. I didn't realize he was quite as old as he was. But
86?
He worked for Monmouth County Park System for 58 years. He started when the parks first became the Monmouth County Parks in 1961, I believe, and he was a planner, a parks planner. Within a year, he became the director of the Monmouth County Park System, and they went from 350 acres to 18,000 acres of open space. He was a great guy. As my friend here, I have many meetings with him. He has an encyclopedic knowledge of Monmouth County and is a great lover of history, and he's responsible for saving a lot of historic buildings, and it's a great loss to us. So please, you know, keep his family in your prayers, and if you wish to contribute to something in his name, www.friendsofmonmouth.com is the website for the Friends of Monmouth County Parks, and there is a donation, you know, point there. So, just wanted to let you all know he was a great man, and he will be missed, but his legacy in open space and parks will go for generations. So, thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Yes. Wait, Josh. Muriel.
Here it is, 29 Linden Avenue. Tonight in public, at the confessions, I got one of those warnings 3 years ago. I too wrote to the chief to tell him how outstanding they were. Mine also was at 1 o'clock in the morning or sometimes in overnight. Because I started to wonder, are they doing this so that I know that I'm sleeping on the job? And I thought, no, not this department. This department's outstanding all the time. So. But it was the one time that I let my door open to Brian Irons.
It's never happened before and never happened since. So.
I know it's never happened since for me either. And secondly, if you're having a review of Mr. Ferragina, if you take any input from the public, maybe I'd be first of many who will say that he's been an outstanding administrator. I think you should listen to some public comments on him. He's quick on answering things. He's knowledgeable about things. I can't believe how quickly he's come up to speed on so much. And he's always pleasant, no matter the personality of anybody else coming into the borough hall or on the phone. He's always great. So I think all of that should be taken into consideration if you're giving a review of him. That's what it means.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I appreciate you.
Cancel that county meeting on Monday.
County fair.
Lori, you were talking about the Harbor Commission, and you were talking about an attorney. Is that on the total building? You didn't say what it was about.
The ongoing litigation that we have is the Topo building, as we've said in public, yes.
All right. I didn't hear you say it was the Topo building tonight.
It's the only ongoing litigation going on.
I didn't know that yet.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. And could you tell me, are the tenants still paying full rent in there while everything was going on?
So we have tenants in the building, but beyond that, it really wouldn't be appropriate to make any comments because of the current pending litigation situation.
Even with pending litigation, you
can't
tell me whether tenants are paying rent?
So there's nothing like any comment on pending litigation. It can interfere with the litigation itself. Plus, this is not a question and answer session. This is a comment session. So for those two reasons, we're not going to answer that question.
Okay. are there COs on old buildings that are rented out in the harbor?
Same comment. And if you have questions on Ms. Smith, I mean, certainly the VA is happy to answer, and the clerk, whoever has the answers to those questions. If you have questions, Borough Hall is open from 9 to 4 every day, and they're happy to field questions. The purpose of this right now is for you to give input to the council. So what you're concerned about, what you're thinking about, we hear your question as a comment, and we will look into that.
It's very hard to give comments if I don't have the information to comment on. And that's why I come to council meetings, because I thought I would get more information in council meetings, but I guess I'm wrong on that as well. I did want to ask if, was Mr. Jacoby present in the building at this executive meeting we had at the last meeting, or can I?
No.
He was not present?
No.
Okay, thank you. I didn't understand, and I don't know anything about this, so forgive me, but, and it's another question because I don't know anything, so I need to ask questions to learn. It's the only way I can learn. When you were talking, John, about the sports program, is this something that now somebody grades whether kids are good or bad in the sport, and that's how they get picked for teams?
I mean, I can say that generally speaking, any sport that occurs in this country, and there are coaches that look at them, an athlete, to be in a tryout environment, the coaches assess their skills. And then the goal for a lot of these programs, especially municipal programs, is to seek parity so that every team, well, I don't need to explain what parity is, so that's what the coaches are attempting to do.
Mr., I believe it's to help, there's a drafting process, yeah, when you're choosing the teams. As a coach, and this is just to help make that drafting process more fair for some new coaches that aren't familiar with the kids that play.
So my understanding is at the end of the year, the coaches will essentially, and I think opposing coaches will, grade their players on specific attributes. And so for the following year, you don't have three all-stars on one team that automatically go 11-0 because. And you want the games to be fair, you want the games to be competitive. I think that's the goal for the recreation department, to make the games as enjoyable as possible for all of the kids. So
they can't all have me as a coach.
Oh,
geez.
So,
but I think this is right. Making more.
So, yeah. And again, it's been a long time since I've had kids involved in sports, obviously, but so kids can't even just play and have fun anymore. They have to get graded on stuff. So based on all that, I would agree, and I'm delighted that you put that off tonight, because besides the privacy thing and the parents of some kids being the ones that were going to be getting this information on other kids, because parents are involved in all this, I wonder about the psychological impacts on these kids.
In response to that, and again, this is public comment,
so you're going to comment as a member of the public?
Right. The scoring, the grading system is not going to be made public to the children. It's for internal purposes only.
Yeah, I realize that, but kids will know.
Mm-hmm. I think the comment as well, listen, take that into account when you decide what to do here, because, I mean, I'm hearing what she's saying, and certainly that's something council should look at.
Sorry.
And it was a concern I had when I read the whole thing, too, about just because the recreation committee knows about it, that could spread.
I just think that it's incorrectly construed, that the goal of the recreation committee and the coaches is for all the children to get equal amount of time of play, or mm-hmm. as close to as possible, so they're all participating. That is the ultimate goal.
I'll just go back to the psychological impact. There will be parents that will know this, too, because, you know, you're sharing it with some parents, you said, so there's some people that are involved, but I know their parents. So, somebody brought up last meeting about the parking committee being disbanded. Has there been any consideration from anybody on re-establishing the parking committee, or is that just a dead issue?
I don't believe there's been any official conversation since the last meeting.
Okay. And the mediation. It couldn't be arranged any sooner than March 30th?
That was the date that all of the parties involved, that they all had available at the same time on their calendars.
March 30th.
That's correct.
Those guys are really busy. And you have it on your calendar, I'm hoping.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you very kindly.
Thank you.
Mr. Leinster.
Josh Weinstein, 60 Bayside Drive. You're all aware of the election snafu, the recount, that after the election, a guy named Jim Dean in Belmont noticed 311 more votes for mayor than voted in the numbers. And so that got an investigation going, and they discovered that six election districts in Monmouth County due to software error of not loading a certain fail-safe mechanism into these districts, they uploaded the results twice. So there was a recount. And the recount is over. And it changed the outcome of the school board race in Ocean Township. A guy who lost by 20 votes on election night won by 4 after the recount. He only lost 95 votes in the recount. The winner lost 119. That was enough. But I raised this because everybody agrees this is not allegations that anybody is refuting. At the base of all of these systems are people. People make mistakes. So I urge you and to urge everyone, one thing all voters can do in New Jersey is they're allowed to close the polls, go back at 8 o'clock when the polls close. When the paper tape comes out of the machine where you voted, look at the numbers, and then the next day, check to see that they're the right numbers on the county website. Because what happened was the errors were certified. These errors could have been caught one day after the election, because there was a district in Tinton Falls that had a 92% turnout. If anybody had looked at the numbers, it would have gone 92%. That's a pretty high turnout for North Year election when the county's voting 47%. So that's all. I want to bring that to your attention. And the other thing is, I went to the county commissioners meeting, and they made a poet laureate of Emmanuel DiDomenico. And when
Emmanuel DiPasquale.
DiPasquale, sorry. I apologize. And when Mr. Arnone was reading through his biography, he said he came from Ragusa, Sicily. And then Commissioner Arnone said, that's where my family's from. And then Commissioner Lasitra said, and that's where my family's from. Black Americans cannot do this. They do not know where they came from in Africa because they were deprived of their names, their language, their culture. They were enslaved. They couldn't read. And this has had lasting effects. When Clemente Pinckney was killed, it said in the paper that when he first was elected to the legislature in South Carolina, he said, let's get rid of the Confederate flag on the statehouse grounds. And we've had 8 years now fighting over our history and monuments. But I only recently found out that he did not call for getting rid of the Confederate flag. What he called for was putting a Pan-African flag on the grounds with the Confederate flag. In other words, he didn't want to whitewash our history. He wanted to add to the history. And that's why I'm here before the end of Black History Month to urge you to let's have a Juneteenth celebration in Atlantic Highlands. Either do it on Juneteenth or rename the Fireman's Fair the Juneteenth 4th of July Fair. We want to bring these aspects of our culture up so people have a balanced view of what America is. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Leinster, just a little side note. I just donated a handful of books to the library here that Mr. DiPasquale had written just a couple days ago. So there's a bunch of them in there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Krause.
James Kraus, 77 Bayside Drive. I want to agree 100% with all of the positive things that were said about the town hall last week. But I do want to point out, I think you forgot to mention the popcorn.
Oh, I know.
That's common.
Sometimes it takes me a little bit of time to consolidate my thoughts and crystallize my thoughts, so 10, 11 days later, I just want to share some more thoughts with you about what was presented, which I thought was a great presentation. As someone who made my, who had a career as a financial professional, at first I was a little concerned that all these scenarios were being presented without numbers, but then it occurred to me that that probably would have added a lot of confusion to what was going on. And certainly that was confirmed in my mind when the planner said that it was just plain and simple, totally not feasible to rehabilitate the school. It would have been far cheaper to knock it down and build a new building, and people didn't just couldn't process that and were arguing against it. So I'm glad the numbers were presented, although hopefully this governing body will get a lot of numbers in the process of going forward to decide which plans to put into the ordinance, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. A couple other things. I think there were a number of compelling reasons to keep the Hess building. EMS, recreation, and who knows what. As a capital asset, it would be useful for perhaps a few decades. And since people would be using it for a few decades, the way to do it is to bond it. So that the people who use it over those decades pay for it in their real estate taxes. And hopefully you can find a way to work the debt service into the budget. The thrift shop, I read some of Paul Boyd's book. It's actually a Wikipedia page, I think, for Robert. It's Robert Mandel. The history is interesting, the architecture is interesting, but I don't think either the borough or a developer should be shackled in trying to maintain a building like that. The three houses that I lived in before I moved to Atlantic Islands were all, it was joyful, they were all over 100 years old, it was fun to keep them going, but it was very expensive.
I understand.
So I think the answer might be if the intent is to try to save that building, subdivide it out and let the church keep it. My understanding from a comment that I heard at the open space meeting last week was that the church is still making some money on it from the thrift shop, so you know, they may be willing to do that. As far as what I said before about hopefully the governing body's getting lots of numbers on the feasibility of the various scenarios, because in my mind, I'm not sure that I'm totally legally correct, but I think there's a danger in if you don't present something that's feasible to be developed, that the church might have reason to object to this and claim it's constructively eminent domain, that it's a taken. And then one more thing, it'd be nice to have some of this as open space, if not all of it as open space. And I know that Mayor Vonnegut, who I saw is here, mm-hmm. has alluded to the fact that there might be some money available in some way. So even if you go forward with a development plan, and as I think I heard at the meeting, that these things can be amended. If Mr. Harmon comes up with money or somebody else comes up with money, that would I think would be nicer than more housing. I think our master plan basically says we don't really need more housing, but we have to go that way far. But if not, hopefully we can find out from Mr. Harmon whether there's a way to raise the money to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Mayor, sorry, if I may, Mr. Calisario was really helpful getting us ready for that meeting too. And I'm sorry that I didn't say it then. In fact, the preparation especially. So thank you for that.
I appreciate it. I like to keep my AV techniques and skill set.
Secret? Yeah. Sorry.
Fly stealth. Fly stealth.
Yeah. Very stealth.
Okay. Go.
Yeah. Hey, good evening. Chris Lucas, 61 East Garfield Avenue. Just following up on some comments and conversation we had 2 weeks ago about the regionalization. To surmise, I believe there was consensus among the group that the preferred path was regionalization, including Seabright. Mm-hmm. Although given some impediments, there was a plan B developed, which included only Atlantic Highlands and Highlands. The action for this group was to understand what that impediment was, get the legal people together, and have a much more crystal view on what it was, what it meant, and how much of a movable object is. So I didn't hear a detailed update on where that ended up. I know I can't ask questions, so I'm going to speculate a little. If someone wants to correct me, I'm totally open to being correct.
So I can tell you that at this current...
I reported on that, but yeah. Go ahead.
So at this current time, the meeting that is scheduled is the latest update that it includes both municipalities of Highlands and Atlantic Islands. Should that change, if we get information that the attorneys and the parties decide to alter the attendance of the meeting, we'll report on that. We'll let the public know. But beyond that, I don't have any information.
Well, and I said there is a pending adversary proceeding involving Seabright, which is the impediment to making it happen the way we want it to happen right now. The Commissioner of Education has to make a decision about that petition, which is an adversary proceeding before her. It's a controversy that has to be resolved for this to happen. So we're trying to move forward. And again, this is what the report I got from Mr. Jacoby that was buttressed by Mr. Bush, that they want to move forward as quickly as they can, so we're going to do the mediation involving just the Highlands with the understanding that we're also going to try to mediate a number with Seabright so that we put the commissioner in a position where she has to make a decision. But there is clearly a legal impediment to doing what everybody wants us to do.
I totally get it. My experience says those kind of legal impediments usually can be overcome. Usually a dollar amount with it. My understanding is that Seabright has a resolution, if that's the right word, mm-hmm. to basically handle any cost to come of that. But I think the bigger ask is that it feels like an escape hatch has been created. And my ask to this group, who was voted in by taxpayers, mm-hmm. to fight for this, and not when things get hard, to bail and take this easy path out, which is Highlands. Because, you know, I don't have statistical evidence, but I haven't found one person who says that's a great idea. Not one. You know, mm-hmm. So maybe there's another meeting going on like this with a group of people who think that's the best idea. I haven't seen it yet. So my ask is, have fortitude, right, and fight for this. Don't take the easy path. There's elections coming up, and people are watching, and how this group behaves gets this done. And what better platform to run on? I got this done. It was hard. We stuck to what we fought for. And I would hope everyone in this group would be proud of that achievement, and anything else probably shouldn't be looked too favorably on, right? So those are my comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Mayor?
Excuse me. Mike London, 33 Blind Brother Path. I just want to mention a couple of things. One on Mother Teresa, I thought that was a great event. Really tremendous. Mm-hmm. Great setup. Generally speaking, I think there's almost too many choices with 16 federal plans. And what I would have liked to see is actually a full open space plan with the GMC. I really think that this council needs to find out. For a couple of years now, it's been going on 2 years. The elephant in the room was what to do with the school building. And now it's pretty clear that building has to come down. Well, we have, somebody's got to have costs for that. somebody should have a cost for it. I'm surprised that the planner didn't have a cost, because they had a cost for everything else. They had a cost for $600,000 for the restrooms and all different numbers. So I think you need to get that cost, because I think that's first of all, I think it's really doable. And in my conversations with the diocese, they have said they will take down the floor. They've used a far different number of $10 to $12 a square foot, far different than the numbers that were thrown around, not by you necessarily, but by different council people and members a few years ago, that because of asbestos and because of all the different things, that elephant in the room type of thing. So I think you have a tremendous potential to have a great open space there. Now, if you have to develop it at the end, I realize that too. I understand how that happens, but I think with the county involvement and with your financial backing, you have an open space fund. Use the open space fund and put that right in the middle of town. You need it there, and you run the recreation program from there. It's, you got to be bold, like this gentleman just said. Be bold and go that way. And my fear is this is a dynamic situation. You've got Holy Family. We lost Holy Family up in Hadley. St. Joe's is under pressure right now. We lost St. Anne's. Our Lady of Perpetual goes down. All these Catholic schools are being shut down. And diocese is dynamic. They're not sitting around waiting for years for plans. They're giving you time to come up with something, because I think they end up, they might buy it too. Mm-hmm. Somebody buy it. And they, because they built it. It's a beautiful thing. It's part of, the gym. It's fantastic. It's part of the community. They want to continue using it. So I think you have a great opportunity if you pull together and go talk to them. I was told that there haven't been much communication in the last 6 months or a year with the diocese. Now, I don't know why. Maybe it's these other issues with the development. But I really think you have an opportunity. You have somebody that's your point person. The county, the county. You mentioned Jim Trump, so I've been there for a long time. I've been about 30 years of commissioner there. And he's all in favor of this sort of thing, because it's an opportunity. It's already built. It's not like you're going in and taking some woods or a shopping mall and redeveloping. The gym is already there, and it's relatively new. It's only 16 years old. So, and I also let me just say, there are people that disagree with the $600,000 upgrade to get that up to code. There are people that disagree with that. That might not be. That may be under a certain situation. But if the county was involved, I'm sure you can figure something out with that. On another note, I would like to talk about regionalization. I understand that you're not big on the questions and that sort of thing, but this has been going on for a few years as well. And I have been under the understanding that that you're using as your background the Kane model. Table 24 model. Now, under that model, you had several things. The Kane came, is that correct? Can we get that on the table? Is that, you're in a mediation, and you haven't told us what your numbers are with education. I mean,
so to the numbers that, like, the different. We hired our own financial expert in the last 3 months. So because we want to have someone who's representing Atlantic Highlands as our financial expert.
Okay, all right. But you've already had resolutions. You have, first of all, Kane made the recommendation. I have some worksheets for you. I'm going to give them to you. It's one of the two pages, but it's got a lot of the statistics in it that I have recreated from that data. The reason I recreated it, because I asked Kane to provide it to me. They wouldn't. I asked Bean to give me a copy of it. She wouldn't. So, and then I've talked to some of the people in elementary school, and they were all referring to this Kane model, which I think is I don't know if Corzio's numbers were better. I see there are some differences in the equalized valuations on these, and I don't understand how two experts can have different numbers for the equalized valuations for the history. I can understand going forward, but the history, they are what they are, and it should be right from the county. It should be pretty easy to follow. Was using the adjusted valuation, and that's the number I saw. Anyway, to make a long story short, I would hope you will look at these numbers and at least consider. Remember this, when Kane came in to the school, they recommended the 72-28 model. All right? That's basically, and I'm only going to talk about numbers. I don't know anything about education, really. Just the numbers, I do understand that. That was $755,000 savings to Atlantic Highlands out of $4.2 million. Every scenario is a savings of $4.2 million. The decision is, how is that going to be divided? So after the 7228, hopefully we're on the same page here. So then what happened, we came in and it was presented, the 8812 model that was presented. See, if I passed it, Atlantic Commons turned it down. I'm glad you did. Then you came in with the 8515 model, which was approved by Seabright, approved by Highlands, and approved by Atlantic Highlands, subject to the sharing agreement. Mm-hmm. Now, at that meeting, which was back in August, and I remember reading this, and I pulled all the minutes, Mr. Crowley made the observation, he didn't vote for it, he said he was in support of the regionalization, but he said, look, I don't have the numbers. Has our auditor seen these numbers? I'm in favor of the concept, but have we seen the numbers? So he ended up abstaining, I believe, is what he did. And I think he was right, because we haven't seen the numbers. I've been asking for the numbers. I guess everyone else has too. Where are they? You know, so you're voting on something, what is the number? And on the 8515 number, savings to Atlantic Highlands were only $215,000. Right? That's what I have here. I recreated it from the worksheet. When you add the sharing model, which is 50-50, which was recommended by Kane, said, do this model, add a sharing agreement, then it came to a different number. I have a different number here. But then when I look at the minutes of Highlands council meeting, completely different numbers. So it's like, how can we be working on the same page and coming up with different numbers? And it's pretty substantial. Now, in theirs, she said it was over, I think it's $1,069,000. And one little part of it, I have a friend from Seabright here, I have a slight disagreement with how this is all shaking out, because out of that 4.2, kind of basically coming up with that, it's the 3.5 that Seabright's studying now, the $400,000 that's saved, based if we only had the two, and then there's some additional growth, I guess, that we go over the next 6 years. So that's where the 4.2 come per year. It's a nice number. But Seabright ends up with half of that, no matter what. And under the scenarios that we're doing here, mostly because of it's all weighted towards enrollment. Mm-hmm. Right? It's all weighted towards enrollment, and they don't have enrollment. But they have E-plus valuations that are now higher than Highlands. That never used to be, by the way. Highlands is also quite up to Atlantic Highlands. Atlantic Highlands has spent over $100 million in the last 11 years on education. So for $200,000 or $300,000, that's not doesn't motivate you. You know what I mean? It's not bold enough. So, but I do agree that Seabright should be there. But I think if you had equitable savings for all three towns, that would be the way to go in. That's all I have to say. I'll be giving you sheets. And if you have any questions, please call me. And I'd be happy to talk to you about them.
Mayor, I'll just add that what's good about what's happening now, even though it's not happening until the 30th, I understand that, is that we have our financial expert that's looking at it very closely. And the other thing, in fairness and in the interest of full transparency too, Keene will tell you that the calculator that they built was a very good calculator, but it also has evolved as new things come to light. So sometimes what you're seeing, what the rest of us are seeing, things have shifted ever so slightly. That information will come out at the appropriate time. And to the other gentleman's comment, it's like, I don't think there's anybody up here sitting up here that says they wouldn't be interested in regionalization of Seabright. It just has to be right for our town too, and their town, and other towns. But a lot of it is in the hands of the Board of Education and the superintendent.
They have to ask for this. I'm a sort of expert forensic accountant for many years. You have to ask them, whatever you're asking, ask them for the name file. Ask who's ever doing this for the native file, which will be the statistics that show the enrollment, the equalized valuation, and the mix of how they're coming up with these numbers. Because they're using a mix, they're using the enrollment percentage and an equalized value percentage, right? But they don't show any of the numbers on how they're coming up to it. So that's what you want to get. At least if you have that, everybody agrees on those numbers historically, going forward, you can always have some projections. historically, and then we should have a good place to start. And that number should be available, and I'm going to file OCRA, and I would ask the lawyer, who do I file OCRA for these numbers? Do I file against the school who hired Kane? Do I file against? You guys should be able to present right now what your numbers are, if they've evolved. I think that's fair. I don't see what's wrong with that. We should have a, we should have a worksheet. If not the Kane law that you're using, what is it? What are the numbers? I think that's a fair question.
I don't know the answer.
In other words,
who
yeah, so what I would,
we're going into mediation. I mean, at the mediation, our expert is with our lawyer. We have the lawyer involved. We have,
but to go into mediation, you have to have your numbers here.
We're going to get them from our experts.
We should have numbers already.
I would say if you have specific questions, email them to me. I can forward them to the attorney representing us on this matter. If there's specific data that you would like that we have at Borough Hall, you're free to always place an OCRA request. So those are two options that I would encourage you to put out.
So here's my question. So it's very simple. I want to get Kane data. Who hired Kane?
The school did. The board of ed.
The three boards of ed.
Exactly. And where's your relying on?
Where,
you have where a whole different source of numbers from somebody else. Are you so dead from Porzio? Somebody had to give you numbers.
No,
not Porzio. Where's your numbers? All right, that's what I'm saying. Is that a fair question?
It is.
How do you go to mediation without numbers? You should have them already.
I think
there's two studies.
There's been disagreement over which numbers are the correct numbers.
Correct.
So the Borough of Atlantic Highlands hired our own financial experts so that we have.
So they can go over.
We just hired them, and so the four people that are attending mediation are having a meeting with that financial expert, so that we're all on the same page about what we're going to mediate.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Just a little more time here. Just a little more time.
I want this thing to go through.
So do we.
And the voters have to be confident. Mm-hmm. To lose confidence when you have all these different things going on.
I think we turned the page. I really do.
Thank you. Mr. Fisher.
Mark Fisher, 9130. Mike, I hope you're available on March 30th for that meeting. Question for the borough attorney. You quote the adversarial proceeding. Is that heard in a court of law, or is that an administrative type of a hearing?
It's administrative. It's part of the whole process involving ultimately the Office of Administrative Law. The way it works is you first go to the commissioner. Commissioner makes a decision. The decision is, it, or she can actually send it off to the OAL to make a decision, and it comes back to her. It's like any other adversary proceeding. There's a complaint filed, the petitions, they move a complaint. So that's what's going on. Again, I'm not directly involved in that, but I have reviewed the paper. So there is a pending proceeding.
I just wanted to be sure that it wasn't.
It's like
a court type thing.
Well, it's a hearing. It's much like the witnesses. There are witnesses. There are.
Here until next year.
Yeah.
About this time last year, we started talking about drop dead dates. We wanted to get regionalization on the ballot in November. The Board of Education wants to have a question on the ballot in a special election in September. It is now almost March. So is September even feasible at this point?
And I don't have the answer to that question.
I'm becoming a very repetitive, but the comment, it's, if you have a question, I mean, the our VA or Mr. Ferragina,
I ask questions at this meeting.
Well, generally
the conversation is annoying, because if I have a Board of Education question, what's the mayor going to tell me? Go ask the Board of Education.
Well,
so I'm asking.
I can appreciate that. So the question will be answered by the professionals in the borough. That's Mr. Ferragina when he gets the answer. But any questions you have, you can ask him questions all week long. When you come here, you're talking to the council about what you think they should be doing as the policymakers and the legislators in this borough.
Question.
Not saying we won't answer any questions. We'll try to answer the question if we can.
Question is, if the Board of Education thinks it could happen in September, we think it could happen in November, and neither one of them can happen, then it's not, it shouldn't even be part of the conversation.
But we're going to find out. Obviously, everybody wants this to happen. The council, I obviously don't have a vote, but everybody wants this to happen as soon as it can. I don't know the answer, and Mr. Ferragina doesn't know the answer right now, but we will get you the answer. If there's whatever the drop dead date is, we'll know what the drop dead date is, and then we'll let you know what it is and whether or not it's feasible to have an election at either of those periods. But right now, we don't know.
Okay. Cannabis discussion? I know the regulations are out. Is there any...
Yes, I mentioned it at the last council meeting that we so the committee is coming back with the addition of Councilwoman Cusick. We have been examining what's been going on in other parts of the state, and we are planning to have a meeting very soon. We were expecting some information from other folks who are helping us reframe the ordinance, the potential ordinance.
Thank you. I haven't heard anything about the emergency radio in a while.
We're going to answer.
Go ahead, John.
The invoice is getting paid, and they've got gear reserved for us, and we were just having discussions about this. So the invoice is getting paid. There's a little bit of a delay, but it's happening now.
So weeks, months?
God willing, Mark, you know, the invoice is...
You're talking about it for 2 years.
No, I know. So the invoice is going to be on the next bills list. You'll see it and be approved, I'm sure. And I just was talking with the radio vendor today, letting them know it's coming and they're getting stuff together for us. I would say, in all honesty, don't look for it to be constructed up on the roof until probably, you know, slightly better weather.
Warm weather.
Yeah.
Okay. Same question about the South Avenue Park. I haven't heard any discussion about getting more money from New Jersey Natural Gas, and if there's a new proposal.
So a formal request was sent to New Jersey Natural Gas requesting additional funding. They have declined our request, officially declined our request for additional funding. So we will not be receiving... I'm sorry?
Because they don't know what inflation is.
Mm-hmm. They will not be providing additional funding.
Okay. So I guess we're going to reconstruct a smaller park than what...
Not necessarily.
Okay.
So the original plan that was outlaid, we can proceed forward with. If we would like to add some additional elements, we will have to build funding into the budget. If the budget gets approved, then we can proceed in that fashion. Right now, the budget hasn't been presented yet. So that's an option that I will be presenting to the council in the budget, which is to build that in there. It's an added cost to the borough. It's something that they as elected officials would have to decide. Otherwise, we would go with the original plan with the monies that were allocated from and provided by from New Jersey Natural Gas and not add additional funds from the borough.
And the last question is, Resolution 51 can go into executive session for acquisition of property. Which property is that?
It's Mother Teresa property.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Mary Ellen Smith, again, 29 Leonard Avenue. Regarding the meeting at the theater, again, it's amazing how many things I'm compliment you all on tonight. It's done a great job on many things. I agree that that was a great meeting. I want to point out that I don't know when the recording was made. I don't know who made the recording. I didn't see any access for the recording. It was not online the next day. I know the next morning I know. But the recording is not complete. It doesn't start at the very beginning of the meeting, so I don't know what else is missing from it. And so I don't know whether it's everybody wants to know most of the meeting, I presume, on the recording, but it's certainly not the whole thing.
There's one version on HNJ.com.
I'm sorry. I think that should be made clear to everybody that that's not the full recording.
Thank you for the question, Ms. Smith. I appreciate
it. Another question.
Or for the comment. Thank you for the comment. Thank you for the comment. I'll make a comment in response to help your comment now, which is the clerk took notes. Those notes are reflected in the minutes for the entirety of the meeting. In addition to that, the recording did take place through the laptop system. It wasn't the way we do it here. hardwired into the building. I believe that the portion that was not included was the Pledge of Allegiance. If more than that wasn't included, it'll be again reflected in the minutes.
There was more than that not included.
Okay, but the minutes should reflect all of the items that took place in the front.
I haven't been able to see the minutes yet, but I do know that the clerk did take it, but there was no mention that there was a recording of it or that it would be made available.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
It's available on hnj.com. There's also another version that Mr. Fugger made, and that is over on the Atlantic Highlands, the unofficial Atlantic Highlands page over on Facebook. And that's it. How long is that recording? It's
long.
2.5 hours? Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Doug, any hands?
So with that, I need a motion and a second to go into executive session.
Doherty.
Okay.
So we're all in favor? We're not taking action?
No. We're
not taking action.
No action.
No. Okay. Thank you.
When you and I is there, little box
All right. Is everybody out?
Yep.
Do we have to wait for the
ready?
We're on.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Well, first we have to come out of executive session. And then all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, and then I need a motion second to adjourn.
Mm-hmm. I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you.
Brian, if you have a question, where is it?
Right.
Feel free, if you can get in my cell phone and call me, so you can
okay.
Ask it now. I'm not sure.
No. We go through the board of for all the questions. Thank you. Nobody listens.
Bye, David.